What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher. Before I get into the meat of this episode, I just kind of wanted to preface with, if you're new to this, then it really won't matter to you, or it won't, you know, you wouldn't have heard any previous podcasts, but I'm going to try to be a little bit more structured in the way that I go about these. So I'm going to have different segments and kind of go from there. So that way we have transitions from, you know, point to point. So if you're, you know, maybe there's one thing in particular you want to listen to, maybe you're not a basketball guy, maybe you only want to hear about the news, whatever else, then, you know, hopefully that'll help you as a listener. And then as well too, I may go, it just depends on what I have to talk about, but depending on the news and everything else that's gone on, episodes may go slightly longer than what they were before. Before it was probably 25 to 30 minutes. Episodes may run a little bit longer because I'm probably going to try to just do one episode per week as it stands right now. Just until it really becomes pertinent that I need to record more episodes per week. I feel like I can cover most basic things, you know, reviewing games, previewing games, any news, and then upcoming things too. So it's enough to where I can probably fit it into one episode and not have to put out too much, because let's be honest, you know, as sports fans in football offseason, y'all are not going to be listening to podcasts like you are leading up to football season and then during the middle of it. So it's just kind of what it is this time of year. So, you know, there's so much going on. You know, basketball's going to be playing multiple times a week. Baseball soon is going to be doing so as well. So, you know, I'm a fan too. I want to enjoy that stuff as well. So I'm probably only going to do one episode per week. Now that I got that out of the way, that's the main thing that I wanted to point out. So that way, if you've heard any episodes in the past, it may be a little bit different. So the first segment that we're going to talk today is going to be just kind of news going on. I don't think I really got a chance to touch on a whole lot of the recruitment stuff, but, you know, Tennessee got Lance Hurd. They got George McIntyre committed. I think that was the big one that we hadn't talked about on here yet, was George McIntyre. Obviously a huge, huge pickup for Tennessee. And you're talking about three classes back-to-back, as long as everything goes good and we get the pen on the paper. You're talking about three classes back-to-back where you've got Nico, five-star. You've got Jake Merklinger, who was by some places ranked as a, you know, top 10 quarterback in the class of 2024. I think On3 had him as a top 10. But either way, he's a very talented four-star. Had a great season, his senior season in high school. So Jake Merklinger coming in, and now you've got George McIntyre committed as well. So Heupel is just showing that he can recruit very well. It's just going to take time. And, you know, as things change in the SEC, you know, like Saban stepping down and things like that, it's just natural that, you know, it's going to get easier for you. You know, maybe not everybody, but certain teams are going to be easier, have an easier time doing certain things compared to what other teams are going to do. And that's just a part of it. So no real crazy news outside of that, and I'm sure that's old news at this point, but, you know, just wanted to mention it because I don't think I've mentioned it on here yet. Tennessee, you know, as far as other news going on and any other sports, I guess I'll bring this up now too, just any, you know, vital news that I think is important. It seems like Zane Denton may not be playing for Tennessee baseball. I was kind of unaware of the situation, and it really just saddens me because everybody knows the babyface killer. He was so fun to watch. And anytime you get a transfer from Alabama that's just super talented like that, it's fun to watch him play. But it looks like Tennessee had prepared to have Zane Denton replaced at third base. I'm not sure who is necessarily going to fill that role. My guess is, you know, assuming that Blake Burke and Christian Moore stay at their first and second, not sure what shortstop's looking like, but third base may be Billy Amick. And obviously Billy Amick's one that's going to come in and play. He's going to be playing somewhere. He was a stud at Clemson. But Zane Denton looks like it's kind of caught Tennessee by surprise, and I think Zane Denton as well, and it sucks because he's having to try to cope and kind of adjust to that change because he did not get drafted. And that's something tough to deal with when, you know, the draft process, they select so many people. It's, you know, so much opportunity for so many different people to extend their playing time to that next level, and you don't get selected. I mean, that really, really sucks sometimes. And, you know, it's just, it's a part of it sometimes, but I really hate that for him because it just makes it that much harder. It's already hard enough to, you know, if you make it into the minor leagues, to grind your way up to major leagues. You know, there's so many talented players that never see major leagues. Like, you think about, you know, old Evan, the catcher for Tennessee, he, you know, got drafted by the Angels, and now he's not going to be playing. You know, he retired just from the sport in general because he saw his life going to a different path. Griffin Merritt, he was an excellent hitter for Tennessee this past season and played at Cincinnati his previous years in college. You know, he got his degree in dentistry, and he's going to go be a dentist. So it's, you know, ultimately, I hope whatever is best for that young man, Zane Denton, I hope whatever is best for him happens. And, you know, if he's not able to be a part of the team because Tennessee had already planned to kind of move on and he doesn't want to sit the bench, I mean, that's understandable. And if he wants to kind of get a jump start on his life, I understand that too. But if he does somehow end up getting an opportunity to play, I hope that he takes advantage of it, and I hope that it pays off in the eyes of MLB scouts. So whatever goes on with him, I hope that, you know, it benefits him because he seems like a really good dude. I know he's gone through some hardships, lost his dad at a young age, so I just want to see the best for him. So I think that's most of the big news for Tennessee, just athletics in general. So the next segment we'll get into will be reviewing the previous games from this past week. So we've only got one game to review. Tennessee had no midweek game, but they ended up playing Vanderbilt this past Saturday in Nashville and ended up winning 75-62. Vanderbilt came out playing very scrappy in the first half, which, you know, I've seen a lot of people make this analogy that Vanderbilt in Nashville is very similar to like what the Swamp is to Tennessee in football, is what Vandy's basketball court is to Tennessee basketball. You've just seen some weird stuff happen there, even with Vandy's not had great teams. But this one, if they had lost that game, that would have felt like a really big letdown because that would have been Vandy's sixth win of the season and only their first win in conference play. They've not won a game in conference play. I don't know if they will. I mean, I really don't know. There's just not – I can't say a whole lot about them. There's just not a lot of talent on that team. There's just really not. But give them credit. They were playing real chippy and playing tough. The refs were certainly helping them, giving them some whistles. But, you know, whistles ended up evening out a little bit. But ultimately, the officiating was just not good in general. The game was pretty solid. Really good game, again, from Dalton Connect. Everybody looked pretty solid overall. Again, Josiah Jordan James, he's playing 28 minutes to give you 0 points. I just don't know what his place is in this lineup right now. I really don't. And it kind of makes me wonder if they didn't have that, if they didn't have Jordan Ganey and him kind of picking up his playing time and getting them some points. You know, he only played 15 minutes, but he got 10 points. If he was not able to do that, I think that'd be a big handicap if you have James going through a slump. And he's usually good. If you've watched Josiah Jordan James before, you know he's usually pretty good for a certain extent of time. He'll go through his slump and he may pick it back up a little bit. But man, he's very timid, scared to shoot, not super aggressive defensively right now. I mean, he plays with hustle at times. So, like, at times you see good things, but at times it's not going to cut it. So it's just, I hate to see that because he had gotten off to a really good start this year, too. Vescovy finally picking it back up a little bit. I think it took him a minute, but he finally started to get some confidence back. But, you know, Connect, obviously the big story of the game. He just does it all, man. It just, no one else has to really do too much. They just, you know, just go out there and do your job, do what's asked of you, because Connect is your points getter. And as long as he stays healthy, Tennessee should have a relatively fairly easy time winning games. But yeah, like I said, good win, 75-62. Little brother It's not a whole lot to say about it. It's one that Tennessee definitely expected to win, but it's definitely it was kind of a trap game because of, you know, just the weird environment and just, you know, it's just a strange place for Tennessee to go play at. But there was a lot of orange there, so shout out Vol Nation for showing up for that game. So now the review segment was a little bit shorter because there's only one game to review and there's really not a whole lot to unpack except Don Connect's a beast, Vanderbilt sucks. And so now we're going to get into the next segment, which is going to be previewing the next game. There's actually two games next week, so we're going to go ahead and preview both of those. So first, on Tuesday at 6:30, Tennessee is going to be playing South Carolina. It is a home game for Tennessee, so it is in Knoxville. And South Carolina has a very talented team. They're 17-3 right now. Their three losses came. One was to Alabama. One was to Georgia. They did finish off Kentucky, which was rather impressive. It was a home game for them, but you know, still losing two games in conference play like that, and then you're able to turn around and beat Kentucky. That is impressive because, you know, Kentucky is a tough team. Despite Kentucky's a little bit of struggles, they are still a very tough team. And South Carolina is a very scrappy team too, and they can shoot well. You know, they're pretty fast to the ball too. They, you know, they almost remind me of Alabama in a way that, like, they do take a lot of shots from different places. Pretty accurate shooters as well for the most part. But again, this team, it's nothing that Tennessee shouldn't be able to handle, especially at home. South Carolina has not played the brunt of the schedule like Tennessee has early in the season. So ultimately, I think that's going to benefit Tennessee, especially at home, when they get a lot of teams like this that are, you know, good teams that are talented, but they haven't really been able to exhibit all of that talent because they haven't played a whole lot of really, really tough opponents. So I think that's going to benefit Tennessee in the long run. So I expect Tennessee to take care of business. It wouldn't surprise me if it's close. But I really don't feel like it's going to be that big of a bother for Tennessee. I think it's, you know, going to be a fairly easy win for them. And I just hope my hope is just that Dalton Connect continues his good run. Cause man, he's fun to watch right now. And then this weekend is going to be the one that Tennessee fans really have their eye on. Talk about tough places to play for Tennessee is at Kentucky. It is a tough environment for anybody, but just the hatred between the two schools, it's never easy. It's never easy for Kentucky when they come to Knoxville. They just hate each other. It's just it's a border rivalry. It's two teams that cannot stand each other. While you have two coaches that respect each other, that is one thing I do. I share a lot of things with Rick Barnes, like my faith, but I do not share his respect that he has for Calipari. I do not respect him. He's a chump, man, and he cries about everything. So, you know, whatever the over-under set at for Calipari crying to the refs, I'm taking the over because it's bound to happen. But, you know, a lot of people comparing Dalton Connect and Antonio Reeves right now. I don't know why. I don't know why it's important to compare people in the middle of the season because ultimately there's a lot ahead of us. There's games behind us that, you know, maybe they haven't played a whole lot in that game. Maybe they weren't asked to play a whole lot. It's just not 100% accurate. But when you really break it down in conference play thus far, where it's been important, Dalton Connect has been far superior. So that should trump that argument no matter how close their numbers are or far apart or whatever. But I keep seeing it all over Twitter about Antonio Reeves and Dalton Connect and Tennessee fans going at Kentucky. But look, the bottom of the line, this is what it boils down to, is that the best player in college basketball, not the SEC, not in this region, the best player in college basketball as a whole right now, is Dalton Connect. And I'm not saying that he's guaranteed to finish as the best player in college basketball, although likely. I'm not saying that he's going to win the award because probably, you know, Zach Edey, the foul merchant, he's probably going to win the award. But Dalton Connect, in my opinion, should be the National Player of the Year right now as it stands. But we'll see what happens. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't need to be made such a big argument. But I will note this. Tennessee is favored by the ESPN matchup predictor. So, you know, take that what you will. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if you want to go in there with the underdog chip, or if you just want to have a little bit more confidence, a little bit more swagger. It's probably good for Tennessee to have a little bit more confidence and swagger going in there because, I mean, let's face it, they've gone in there as an underdog plenty of times, and it's not ended up well for them. So this is going to be one that Tennessee really, really has to fight for. I'll be honest with you. This is one that if Tennessee's going to lose a game, it's probably going to be on the road. And this is one that I could see them losing because you look at the rest of their road schedule. A&M, that's a beatable game. At Arkansas, that's a winnable game. At Missouri, winnable. Then you get into March. At Bama, winnable. At Carolina, winnable. So if they were going to slip up and kind of lose, you'd rather it be now, I guess. So, like, if I had to pick, if Tennessee had to lose one more game, obviously I would rather them just win out. But if I had to pick one game for them to lose, it would be right now in the middle of the season because you want them to be very hot going into that SEC tournament and going into March. You know, it'd be more convenient to learn from it right now. Play hard, take a tough loss on the road now and learn from it and get better. Because the rest of your road games are kind of cake, if we're being honest. But with that said, I still think Tennessee wins. I'm not going to say that I think they win out as of right now, but I do think Tennessee wins this one. They lost both games they played against Kentucky last year, and I just think Tennessee wants this. It's going to be one that they're going to be ready for. Kentucky's kind of on a, in a way, they're on their own little type of skid. I know that they haven't lost a ton, but they lost South Carolina. They lost to Texas A&M, who is terrible. Texas A&M is pretty terrible. I mean, they're physical, but they're not good. But you look at their games. Win 87-85 over Florida. Then they lose to Texas A&M. And then you got a 105-96 win over Georgia. You got the loss to South Carolina where they only scored 62 points. And then, you know, this game ended up 63-57. Kentucky only scored 63. Arkansas did not shoot the ball well at all. Otherwise, they would have handed you a big L, too. So, man, they're in these really tough, close games with opponents that you would expect them to have, you know, relatively no problem with. And that Georgia game that was real close was at home, too. So, if anyone's going to give them some trouble, it's going to be Tennessee, man. Like, it is going to be Tennessee. Florida comes in there this week, too. So, hopefully Florida doesn't – I would actually – Florida just kind of let Kentucky build up a little confidence, give them this fake mojo, and then Tennessee roll in there and kind of bring it back down to earth. So, I'll take Tennessee. Really close ball game. I think it'll be a closer ball game than what Tennessee and South Carolina will be. But I expect two wins from the Vols this week. So that's kind of my preview of those games. You know, there's going to be some heated matchups, some rivalry action. It's going to be fun to watch. But like I said, I think Vols get it done. The last segment, I'm going to try to throw something fun and different in each week, just something different so people that stick around can kind of have something to listen to. So, you know, if you don't care about the news of basketball and if you don't care about just the news with the programs in general, then you can always listen to this just to see. This is just a completely opinionated thing. But today I wanted to talk about somebody that I thought was a very underrated Vol. And that guy's name is Seth Stevenson. And if you don't know Seth Stevenson, right now, he is a minor league prospect for the Detroit Tigers in Major League Baseball. He's moved up the pipeline a little bit, but you know he's still going to be in the minors for a little bit. He's not got super crazy bat numbers as far as like power goes, but he's got a really solid average. He's super quick, and he actually, if I'm not mistaken, I know he in the middle of the season he was leading. I think he finished the minor league season last year with the most stolen bases of anybody. I mean, he's like a young Ronald Acuna out there. That dude is quick as lightning. And the reason I say he's underrated is because, I mean, obviously people are probably going to start to know him after a while because of his quickness, and that really stands out. But he was smack dab in the middle of a super uber talented Tennessee roster in 2021, where you had, the big headliners were people like Jordan Beck, who now is, for the Rockies organization, Drew Gilbert, that's now playing for who was he playing? He was with the Astros, then they traded him to the Mets organization, which sucks. There's a lot of those types of pieces. Trey Lipscomb, lots of those guys that was on that team that just kind of stole the shine, I guess, in a way. But if you remember, and if you don't remember, I challenge you, go watch some highlights. Seth Stephenson was usually the first guy in the lineup because of his quickness. So he'd be a guy that if he could get on base, you've got somebody that you can do so many different things with that. If you just got a, maybe you just got a little ball, he's so quick that, if there's a little bit of hesitation, easily you can end up like with a, first baseman, maybe he gets it on a weird hop or a shortstop, that if Stevenson gets a good enough jump, he's safe. And then that little bit of hesitation could lead to, two on base and a ball that maybe would have normally resulted in two outs. Or maybe, you get Stevenson with a rare home run and you get a solo shot because he does have a little bit of power. But, man, his quickness, he was such a weapon for them, just having him, first in the lineup. And then you have somebody with power coming up behind him. And they were able to rotate different people in that spot to come up behind Stevenson. But man, he was just underrated when he was there because he was sandwiched between so many different people. It's really cool to see guys like that being successful. Baseball is about to start back up too, so I'm really excited to watch college baseball. That's probably it's very close with football, but it's probably my second favorite sport. So I'll talk about it on here like crazy when the season starts, but I'm really looking forward to what they can do this year with Tony V and the guys. The sky's the limit with those guys, for real. There's no telling. They could do whatever they want. Take it as far as they want to, really. They just got to be smart about it. It's also going to be exciting, too, watching guys like Seth and Drew Gilbert, Jordan Beck, Chase Dullinger now, all these guys that are now in the minor leagues kind of work their way up. You actually saw Ben Joyce pitching a little bit for the Angels last year. He got hurt, but, man, he came in and just wowed fans in Los Angeles because he came up there and, he had the nickname at Tennessee, the Fireman, but he came up there just pumping gas on the mound. And I remember watching that clip when he came up, I believe it was against the White Sox, and he got them out of a little bit of a jam. And, man, he's a talented dude, man. So there's a lot of those guys that's going to be coming up out of Tennessee. And so I think, with the news of Todd Helton being the first volunteer to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, I think it's really cool to see some of these other guys coming up. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of that going forward. So we'll see what happens. I'm really excited to get into the rest of college basketball, college baseball, all that good stuff. If you're a season ticket holder at Tennessee, now is your time to renew too. So maybe that's not exciting for you that, you're about to get drained of quite a bit of money, but it's time to do it and lock in for the boys next year. So get it done. That was kind of the structure. If you guys have any feedback on that structure, I thought that was a little bit better. If there's any, comments, concerns, feedback, whatever, y'all can shoot me a message or leave a comment on the podcast, whatever. You can find me on social media at Big Orange Buzz on Instagram, at Big Orange Buzz _ on Twitter. Give me a follow on there. Shoot me a message about the podcast, what you think. If you just want to talk Tennessee athletics, if you want to talk, Preds hockey, Atlanta Braves baseball, whatever, we can talk. If you want to vent your frustrations and you're a Titan fan, we can talk. I'm a pretty good listener, but I'll probably complain too. Like I said, appreciate you guys listening. If you have any feedback, just let me know shoot me a message on social media. Let me know. Appreciate you guys listening. We will have another episode probably up next week talking about what happened this past week and what's to come. So appreciate you guys tuning in. We will see you guys on the next episode, and go Vols.